Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is recorded in the gospel lesson that was just read. Dear friends in Christ, in the opening words of the gospel according to St. John, we are told that Christ is the light that has come into this world. In other words, John is telling us that there is something absolutely unique about Christ. Something that has never taken place in a human being before. The very presence of Christ dispels the darkness. And in that kind of description, John propels us back to the very beginning of time itself. In the very first chapter of Genesis, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. Christ and Christmas are together a celebration of the light that has overcome the darkness. People, it seems, from very earliest times have celebrated the joy that comes from light in the midst of darkness. At this very darkest time of the year, light is so very precious. We try to artificially produce light. We turn on lots of lights in our homes and outside our homes. We put all kinds of lighted decorations. We burn candles. And we light fires in our fireplaces, not so much for the heat, but for the light. It seems that we have, as human beings, an innate desire for light. But the true light is Christ, who was from the very beginning. There are three basic truths that we need to explore as we celebrate Christmas today. The reason for his coming, the reality of his sacrifice, and the reassurance of his presence. So, why did he come? To reveal God to us? Certainly. But much more, to be human. To be human. God not only knew all about us, but he experienced all and more. He lived in this world, God's world, under God's laws, with all the temptations of a human being. In 1974, the then governor of Alabama, George Wallace, probably the most prominent segregationist of his time, was told by his son that he was involved in a sociological experiment for one of his college courses. But what Wallace Jr. didn't tell his daddy was that he and a black co-ed were playing the part of an interracial couple trying to rent an apartment in Alabama. That was truly an eye-opening experience for young George. You see, it's always helpful to see things through another person's eyes. Now just think for a moment how completely Jesus experienced what it means to be human. Born of hard-working parents, earning a living by the sweat of his brow in a carpenter shop until the age of 30, he experienced brief popularity and then ultimate rejection. He experienced physical suffering beyond what most of us can hardly imagine today, and then death. Surely he knows where we are coming from, for he has walked through the same dark valley. But he is the light of the world because of the reason for his coming. You see, Christ came to be the ultimate sacrifice. He came to us, not certainly because he had a martyr complex. He came with all the same fears and all the same frustrations that plague us all. One day, a California State Patrol officer received a call. A woman was about to jump from a bridge. Immediately, that officer was confronted with her own dilemma. The officer herself had an extreme fear of heights. And the jumper was perched on a railing of a bridge 443 feet above a deep gorge. Some of you will understand. The officer forced herself to walk slowly across that bridge and sit beside the jumper on the railing. They talked for 2 hours as the officer struggled with her own panic. And finally, the jumper agreed to come down and get help. But Jesus jumped for us all. As we celebrate this Christmas, we need to remind ourselves again and again that love is not measured by the size of the gift, nor even by the beauty of the verbal declaration. It is best measured by the willingness to sacrifice. And by that measure, love certainly came down to us at Christmas. God was willing to give himself for the sins of the world. And he did just that on the cross at Calvary. He died that we might live. St. John says in this same gospel, chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In 1933, in the depths of the Great Depression, an itinerant group of revivalists camped on the town square in Murphy, North Carolina. They were asked immediately to leave town by the authorities. But they pleaded poverty, and they asked permission to hold just one service. And at that service, a lovely young girl with unwashed blonde hair sang just 3 lines of a song. Jacob Nils, a collector of mountain songs, was at that service that evening. And after the service, he gave the girl 25 cents. Doesn't sound like much now, but it was a lot then. He gave her 25 cents to sing that song again. He did that three times. But each time she only sang three lines of that song. She knew no more. No more of that lovely Christmas song, "I wonder as I wander out under the sky, why Jesus the Savior did come for to die." And I think at times we all wonder what it is about poor, ornery creatures like you and like I that could inspire such love. It must indeed be that his very nature is love. That's exactly what the Bible says. And Jesus said, "To this end was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world." Does it really matter? Does it really matter that he is Emmanuel, God with us? Does it really lighten up our lives here and now? Yes, it does. If we come to him with the innocence and trust of a little child. In the comic strip, for better or worse, little Elizabeth is sitting near the Christmas tree, looking at all the neatly wrapped gifts under the tree. And her father says, "Elizabeth, it isn't time to open the gifts yet." "Oh, I know, Dad," Elizabeth said. "I was just thinking about all the kids who don't have presents to open. I was thinking about all the kids who are in the hospital. I was thinking about all the kids who are homeless. I was thinking about all the kids who are lonely. I was thinking about how lucky I am." Then she paused and looked up at her dad and said, "Christmas is Jesus' birthday. I wish I could give him something." Her dad smiled, gave her a hug, and said, "Honey, I think you already have." If somehow by God's grace we can capture that kind of love and unselfishness, then it can be said that his light dwells in our hearts. One Christmas, back in the 30s, finances were really tight for Paul's family, and he managed to scrounge together $8, which he gave to his wife to buy food for Christmas. She perhaps foolishly spent a dollar on wrapping paper. And while they were arguing about that when she came home, their little girl got into the wrapping paper and crudely wrapped a little box. Well, Paul lost his temper, blew his top, sent her to bed. The next day, when they were exchanging gifts, the little girl ran behind the tree and brought out that little crudely wrapped box and said, "Daddy, this is for you." He felt terrible about the way he had treated her. And slowly, he unwrapped and opened the box and discovered that it was empty. His temper rose again, and he said, "When you give a present, you're supposed to put a gift inside." The little girl looked at her dad, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, the box is not empty. I blew all my kisses into that box, and I put in it all my love for my dad." He asked her forgiveness, and he always kept that little box next to his bed. The Bible is our box. It is full of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Savior. He is the light of the world. A blessed Christmas to you all. Amen.